Thinking Liberty, Episode 9.
Welcome to Thinking Liberty, the podcast that explores lifestyles of freedom-minded individuals. Join us as we discuss work, hobbies, health, learning, and more while living a travel-orientated lifestyle. Be curious, be open, be inspired, be free. And now, here are your hosts, Zach and Sarah Varnell.
Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of Thinking Liberty. We're coming to you from our mobile studio currently parked in New Holland, Pennsylvania. So I'm Zach.
And I'm Sarah. And we are here this week and next week in Pennsylvania, hoping to visit with family and check out all that Pennsylvania has to offer. Specifically, we're mainly going to be hanging out in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, and then also a little bit in Ephrata, Pennsylvania. I have a lot of family here. My grandmother lives here, and I have several aunts and uncles that live here. I think Thursday we're going to try to go see a cousin's baseball game. He's playing in the high school playoffs for the state, and hopefully we'll get to see him pitch. And we'll hopefully get into some 4th of July activities and festivities with some of the family as well.
Been seeing some fireworks. It's pretty neat. It's always fun to drive around near the 4th of July because you get treated to fireworks shows.
You're just coming up over a hill and all of a sudden you see some fireworks going off in the distance and it's a great view. I don't know that we have any specific plans yet to go see any fireworks, but I think a lot of places actually had them tonight, and we only got in and got settled today, so we didn't really have time to go plan anything like that. But maybe there will be something still going on Tuesday, which we actually have the day off, so that'll be nice. So there are a few things that we always like to do when we come to Pennsylvania. So like I said, I have a lot of family here, so we spend a lot of time visiting with them and catching up with them. But there are a few things that Lancaster, Pennsylvania is pretty, popular for. If you guys aren't familiar with the place, people that aren't from here sometimes say, they say Lancaster. So you may be more familiar with that term, but there's the Dutch Amishes here. So there's a lot of good food from them, antique stores, craft stores. They do a lot of furniture. There's a lot of quilts. You can find really good produce, really good baked goods. Pretty much if you drive down the road within 5 minutes or so, you'll see a little sign where you can pull off and buy produce, eggs, baked goods from an Amish family up here.
All really good stuff, too. And one funny thing that I remember from one of my first trips up here to Lancaster County is we stopped and bought some root beer from a little Amish boy and bought it, went back to the car and opened it up and started to drink it. And I'm like, this tastes a little alcoholic. So I guess they, couldn't really help, but, the fermentation got a little out of hand on that batch.
My guess is, we were so young, too, when that happened. That was one of Zach's first trips up here when Zach and I were still just dating and we were pretty new. My guess is that it was such a minimal amount that it didn't really matter anyway. It was just kind of a novelty for us.
Not every day you buy alcohol from a little boy.
Even if it is like 0.5% or something like that. So you can find all kinds of things like that up here. I am looking forward to every time we've been up here. This is probably the third time. Yeah, it's the third time we've been up here in the RV. And each time I've been like, I am going to go to one of these Dutch stores and I am going to buy a quilt because I've been wanting to do that for a long time. If you haven't been to this area, you should definitely check it out because they make some really good quality quilts and they're really unique looking because they pretty much stick with the old designs. And so there's just a lot of culture and history to it. So I plan to do that this trip. And then there's also a lot of things that are local to this area. Ham and pretzels are from Lancaster, PA. My mom always, has her sisters bring her some of those whenever they come visit. My mom lives in Georgia, so that's one thing they always bring her. And then also Lebanon sweet bologna is another thing that's big here.
Or as you might hear it called, sweet bologna.
Yeah, it depends on what part of the country you're from. So that's one thing. And then
one of my favorite things up here, and I'm not sure if it's really a Pennsylvania thing, but this happens just to be where we see it the most, is bread cheese. And I think it's originally from Norway or somewhere like that, but you know, it's this block of cheese that basically doesn't really melt when you fry it or heat it up. So it's really good just warm cheese by the time you're done, you know, heating it up or frying it. So what we like to do is
cook. More like grilling it, not frying it, really, too.
You can do either.
Yeah, it's got this consistency and texture that is different from most cheeses. So like Zach said, it doesn't really melt. So it's just a nice little addition to what we like to do is have it as a side with breakfast instead of having a starch, like instead of using bread or biscuits.
Yeah, so you just throw it in the pan with your bacon and eggs and let it cook. It gets a little bit crispy and gets hot and a little gooey, but without melting. So it's really good. And I've heard that originally people would take it and dip it into their hot coffee, and that's how they would. We tried it.
Yeah, I definitely did that after Zach told me that's what he read about, and I can tell you that it is very good.
Yeah, so that's one of my favorite things. Not sure if it's really a Pennsylvania treat or not, but yeah, alongside sweet bologna and the pretzels, we always end up having to get bread cheese while we're up here.
Yeah, and I mean, so the lemon and sweet bologna probably isn't something that's specific to the Pennsylvania area either. It's probably more just a northeastern thing. Definitely not something you find in the South. Growing up in Georgia, it was something that, you know, was always a treat for us coming to Pennsylvania, and something that my mom always missed about Pennsylvania because she grew up in Lancaster, PA. Ham and pretzels are local to Lancaster, PA. You can definitely find the same type of pretzels. They're just like the thicker, bigger, very hard type pretzel. You can find those other places, but I definitely, you know, maybe I'm a little biased, but they're definitely the best.
That's another thing about Pennsylvania is I notice people up here say PA. That's something that we never got in the South. Like, I never grew up saying I'm from Atlanta, GA, but that seems to be pretty normal up here.
I'd never thought about it or noticed it until just now. So, one of those things, I guess. So while we're up here, like I said, you know, we want to hang out with family and catch up with them, but there's also some other things that we've, you know, had on our to-do list for our visits here but haven't gotten around to yet. So one of those things is visiting the cloister. That's one thing that Zach has really wanted to do.
I'm not really sure what it is, but it sounds interesting. It's in Ephrata, Pennsylvania.
Yeah,
it is the home of a religious sect of some sort. I think maybe they didn't have very many comforts. I'm not sure if they didn't believe in comforts or if it was just they were poor, but I've heard that you can go and see where they slept and things like that, and it looks pretty uncomfortable.
Yeah, but we've been told that that's one of the touristy things to do here, and even with my family being from here all my years of visiting, that's never anything that I've done, so we thought it'd be cool to check out. There's also a lot of markets that we try to go to whenever we're here. Rutz is one of them. It just has a lot of, like I mentioned before, you know, the crafts, the furniture, the antiques, the baked goods, fresh produce. A lot of people sell things like herbs and spices, and then also they'll make their own vinaigrettes and oils, so you can really find unique type flavors from those things there. So it's really cool to check out. So if you do come, I recommend going there.
Yeah, and you can get sweet bologna there, and I think there's an auction across the street, isn't there?
Yeah, there is.
It's called a Conestoga auction. Or am I mixing up the locations here?
Yeah, that's a separate thing. Rutz actually, I think, has its own auction. So they'll have animal auction and then an antique section or toys. It just depends on the day.
Yeah, which even if you're not going to bid on anything or buy anything, it's still really interesting to watch. Like she said, they have the animal auction or the livestock auction where you can, you know, see people bidding on everything from pigeons up to, I don't know, sheep. I don't know if I saw anything bigger than that there. I'm sure that some days they have cow and horses and stuff like that. But then it was also cool just to see the little unofficial auctions going on while we were there, where people would just gather around a pickup truck in the parking lot and start auctioning off gas cans and just whatever else that they wanted to get rid of. I thought that was cool. And then Rutz Market was really pretty cheap, too, because I remember when we went there, I just went out with a couple bucks and was able to fill up for lunch just off buying, you know, some produce or, you know, some snacks here and there for a couple dollars or 50 cents each.
Is that where we had that really good crab cake sandwich?
I don't remember.
Was that there? I think that was there. Yeah. So it was really good food and really cheap too. I think at some point in the future, we definitely want to dive more into what all Lancaster, PA, FRDPA, New Holland, PA, what this area has to offer. We also are planning to do a Philadelphia episode. Maybe we'll combine the two into one, just because those are both places that we've loved to go. But for this episode, what we really wanted to talk to you about, and also hopefully get some feedback from you guys, some comments, questions, things that you would like to learn more about. So definitely at the end of the episode, after you've listened to it, you know, leave us a comment, leave us a note, and let us know your thoughts, because we're definitely not the experts here, but we wanted to share our insights and our experiences traveling with Airbnb, because even though we live in our RV full time, we don't always travel in it because it's not always convenient. We've had a couple of times where we were only going somewhere for a couple of days, so it just didn't make sense to drag the RV along with us, or traveling for work. Our work has actually started using Airbnb. And then when we went to Buenos Aires, we actually stayed in Airbnb for a month and a half there. So, you know, of course, then we're not going to get the RV down there. So we wanted to dive into a little bit more about, you know, pros and cons of traveling via Airbnb and what to expect and what to look for.
Yeah, and we even want to get into the possibility of living in Airbnbs for periods of time. Like we were just saying that when we visited South America, we were in one Airbnb for a month and a half and then a different one for 2 weeks. So that gave us a little bit of a taste of what it's like to, you know, sort of live somewhere for a little bit. But I've heard of people who basically go Airbnb to Airbnb and just travel the world that way. So that was really interesting to me. And, but the trip to South America and some of the trips we've had here in the United States have made me think of some of the drawbacks of that, maybe.
Yeah, but if you are one of those people who travels the world via Airbnb, or you live in an Airbnb for, you know, over 50% of the year, definitely reach out to us, because we'd love to interview you and get your experience and your tips and hints. So with traveling via Airbnb, it's, if you're not familiar with what it is, it's a website where people can put up their homes, apartments, or even just single bedrooms essentially for rent. And you can go on and you can select your dates and see what's available in the city and state, city and country, pretty much anywhere in the world. There's a few places where it's there's some legal laws that prohibit it, like New York City is one place, but for the most part it's available worldwide. So you can decide whether you are comfortable staying in a shared space or whether you want, you know, your own single apartment or home, and you can set some other criteria, such as if you travel with pets like we do, you can put, you know, that you need a place that allows pets. If you are a smoker, you can set that you need a place that allows smoking. What I've noticed is that the majority of places do not allow smoking, which is good for us because we always look for places that don't allow smoking because of personal preferences. But then there's also things you can select your price range. You can select amenities such as washer and dryer, internet, TV stuff, if you need, you know, cable or whatever, you can select those things too. Full kitchen, things like that. So there's a lot of choices that you can go on. So if you haven't checked it out before, definitely go Airbnb.com and check it out and see, you know, what opportunities there are. One thing to consider is that the prices are not going to be consistent. You know, what you can get for a week in one city is not going to be the equivalent of another week in another city. Some cities are really expensive, which we found, and then some cities are really cheap. It just really depends on what the market value is in that location. So we wanted to share some of our experiences with looking for Airbnbs, and really it's kind of hit or miss. I mean, we've definitely learned a lot about, you know, what we need to make sure that we're checking for. But I think for the most part, we've had good experiences, with a few bad ones snuck in there. But overall, it's definitely something that we would recommend as a means for traveling.
Yeah, I think, you know, I keep going back to the Airbnb we stayed at in Buenos Aires, and I think that is probably one of our best experiences because we ended up really loving that apartment and almost viewing it as our home by the time we left, and we were a little bit sad to leave it. And I know Ollie was getting used to it and really happy with it too. And I think our only complaint about it was that it just wasn't very well stocked. So that was something, you know, we didn't even really think of until we got down there. And then we go to cook, and, you know, a lot of the cookware wasn't that great. Also, they had a washer and dryer, but their, you know, definition of washer and dryer in Argentina was a little bit different. It was much smaller, and I'm not even really sure how to describe it, but it just seemed like a, you know, more low-quality, smaller washer and dryer. Or actually, no dryer at all, just washer. And then every time I used it, it would shock the crap out of me.
Well, they did keep it outside where it was exposed to the elements, so yeah. That's kind of to be expected. But it was a good thing that they had it because we were there for over a month. But it's kind of one of those things, so that's another, you know, I wanted to share some things that we've learned. So it's if you're staying somewhere for an extended period of time and you plan to do a lot of cooking or you like to cook, you know, ask the question to the host, you know, do you have a fully stocked kitchen as far as supplies for cooking, such as, you know, the right pans, the right dishes. You know, there were a couple of pans, not really any casserole dishes, no. There was like this one really small baking dish. We were actually there over Thanksgiving, and we decided last minute that we were going to throw together our own Thanksgiving dinner. And it was really ended up being quite a challenge, but it was pretty fun at the same time.
Yeah, especially just cooking for two people, and, you know, we're in a country that doesn't celebrate Thanksgiving, so it was fun. We ended up roasting a chicken instead of a turkey. Although they did have turkeys, they were gigantic.
Oh my gosh, they were so huge. They were definitely larger than some of the turkeys that we can find in the U.S. I mean, I was hoping to find, you know, a little tiny butterball turkey because that would be enough, and then we could have plenty of leftovers for lunches. But no, these were ginormous turkeys.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of what else we made. I mean, we made mac and cheese. I think that was fairly easy to make because we just, you know, found pasta and cheese and milk and all that. But then there were a lot of dishes that were very improvised and then were like half Thanksgiving American dinner and half Argentinian food because that's what we had access to. But
it was really fun. It really ended up being more like a Sunday chicken dinner. But I mean, if you're from the South, you know what I'm talking about. But it turned out it was fun. It was definitely one of those, you know, good memories of traveling that we have now. You know, definitely ask the question. If there's something that's important to you when you're looking for a place to stay and you're going to be there long term, just go ahead and ask the host, because if they say no, then maybe you can bring some stuff or you can plan a budget to buy a couple things while you're there. Or if it's a deal breaker for you, then you know in advance to look somewhere else. We stayed in a place in the U.S. Where they didn't have any proper bed linens. Like, it was just this really uncomfortable, stiff, I want to say it was really an improvised, like, bottom sheet, but then there was no top sheet, and then the blankets for the bed were basically couch throw blankets.
So it's a good thing we weren't really staying there too long. Like, if we had booked that for several months, I'd have been a little more upset, but we were just there for a few days, so we dealt with it.
Yeah, so it's just one of those things. You know, we travel full-time, so we're used to and we expect some inconveniences and some difficulties and challenges. But at the same time, you know, we've gotten pretty used to traveling with our house. So we have all the comforts of home. You know, we have exactly what we need for what
we
cook.
The RV spoils us.
It does. It really does. We have our comfortable bed. We bought really comfortable sheets and a really fluffy blanket. And we have great pillows. And then we've got our nice little couch with comfy throw blankets and you know, we've got a fridge and we keep it stocked, and I have a huge spice and herb collection that I'm always adding to whenever we go to new cities.
And we stay in parts of the country where the weather is more mild typically.
Well, you know, we try.
Yeah, we're not always successful, but you know, we try to be in Florida or Texas or southern Alabama during the winter so far. It's, you know, hopefully we'll get out west eventually. And then, you know, when it starts to get hot, we retreat up north and we check out Pennsylvania for a while. And I mean, that's as far north as we've been so far, but, you know, here in the next few weeks, we're going to be going up into New England. So part of that is just we want to stay cool this winter or this summer. So,
yes, that's the goal.
And speaking of, I guess that brings up our Airbnb again. We were very comfortable in Argentina, but then when we went on vacation over to Chile, we stayed in one Airbnb in Santiago for a week. And they said they had an air conditioner.
Yeah, don't assume anything, people.
Yeah, you might want to... I guess especially when you're maybe traveling outside the country or to areas that traditionally don't have air conditioners, you definitely want to check to make sure they do and maybe get some details on what they mean by air conditioner. Because in Santiago, it was pretty hot. Maybe not the hottest part of the year, thankfully, but it was hot. And the air conditioner they had no sort of, like, actual way of cooling. It was just a fan.
Yeah, and it was weird. Like, you were supposed to put water in it, and then it used the water to cool.
Makes no sense.
And it said you could put ice in it to make it run cooler.
Makes a little bit of sense.
But it ran out of water and ice so fast that, like, to try to keep cool while you were sleeping, it was impossible.
Well, just putting straight water in it wasn't going to make us cool anyway. The only thing I know of that would do that would be an evaporation cooler, and I'm pretty sure that wouldn't work in Santiago because it's too humid.
Yeah,
so anyway, that didn't cool us at all, and it was really hot there. So we spent one hot week in Santiago. On one hand, maybe it did make us get out of the house a little bit more. You know, we were getting pretty tired towards the end of our vacation, so it was tempting to just kind of rest all the time. But since it was so hot anyway, we figured
after
we might
hiking
as well get out.
Towards Del Paine, I mean, yeah. You know, we needed a little bit of rest. We did.
And then even in, you know, the United States and Canada, you might have this same issue where one time for work, I went to New Hampshire and I was there with a coworker. So we wanted to get a house that had a private room for both of us. And, you know, enough room for us to work in a common area. So we got an old farmhouse in New Hampshire, and we rented that. If I remember, a pretty decent rate for a week. And
they assumed they wouldn't need an air conditioner.
Well, yeah, I mean, I don't think of New Hampshire and places like that getting hot. But then we got up there, and it was 96 degrees, like, every day. So it was pretty hot inside that farmhouse, which of course was built before air conditioning, so it didn't have one. But it was really hot during the day, and then at night, though, it was nice and cool, and we just opened windows. But if you're the type of person who doesn't ever want to be hot, that's definitely something to consider. And we have another coworker who right now is actually in an apartment in Toronto where he's going through the same thing where, you know, he kind of assumed it's Canada, it's not going to be that hot. I guess, you know, we don't really need an air conditioner. And it's just getting really hot inside the apartment during the day, and there's not much he can do about it. So if you're, you know, that type of person who can't stand being hot or maybe, you know, can't stand being cold even, check on the air conditioner situation, check on the heater situation. Because I've heard of the inverse before, too, where people, you know, in Florida or places like that don't even own heaters, but it still might get cold every now and then.
Yeah, so, you know, just kind of make a checklist of what things you prioritize when you're looking for an Airbnb. You know, think beyond, you know, just do they allow pets or do they not allow pets? You know, think beyond, is it okay for groups? Is it large enough? Think about, you know, what you need to be comfortable. What do you need, you know, especially if you're staying long term. If you're just staying for a couple days and you just need a place to crash, it might not be as big of a deal. So think about why you're staying there. And then think about, you know, what you need and what you want to prioritize. And, you know, you are staying in other people's homes or, you know, sometimes people have places that they dedicate fully to Airbnb, so it's not really where they live, but it is still their property. And so what's important to them and what they think might be important to their guests might not be the same things that are important to you. So really make a list of it, but don't be too picky because, you know, it is somebody else's place. So, you know, like I said, it's you kind of have to expect that it's not going to be perfect, or you have to expect that it's not going to be exactly what you would have selected if it was your home. But you can, you know, have some things that you say, you know, this is make or break. And for us, it's, you know, when we travel in Airbnbs, sometimes, you know, if it's a quick stop for work, we don't really care that much and we're not paying too close of attention. And if we are trying to take Ollie, that's our biggest concern is, do they allow pets? And then once we've gotten past that, we just pretty much let it go. But if we're staying anywhere long term, we've learned that, one, we want to check about, you know, heating and cooling, because those are things that are important to us and really kind of make or break our stay and whether we end up having a good time or not. I am a light sleeper, and so I have to be super comfortable. So what I've learned is to kind of check the reviews of how other people say they've slept, and see if there's anything that seems like it's amiss. And then if you're planning on doing a lot of cooking, you know, check and see. A lot of times the hosts will actually say things like, we have a fully stocked kitchen. Sometimes we've even found that they leave, you know, the basic herbs and spices there for you for cooking. So you can check those things as well. And if there's not a whole lot of information, like I said before, just ask. It never hurts to ask.
And the one thing I said earlier that's interested us is, you know, the possibility of not just staying in Airbnbs for short amounts of time, but actually, you know, living in Airbnbs and using that as a means to travel. But I think that is attractive, and especially if you check all of the, you know, comforts that you need at a place like we've been discussing, that could be great. But it also does present challenges of, you know, how much stuff to bring, and if the place isn't fully comfortable, if you'll even be able to buy stuff for the Airbnb to make up for that. I know when we were in Buenos Aires, we actually brought quite a bit of stuff because we had our work stuff, because we were, you know, meeting up with coworkers while we were down there. We had our backpacking stuff for when we were going to go to Chile. And then we had just our regular street clothes and stuff like that for day-to-day, you know, going around Buenos Aires and being a tourist there. And then we had Ollie, of course, and his hard kennel that was airline approved and all that. So that made for a lot of stuff, and it would have been really hard to bounce around Airbnbs within the city or even within the country. But luckily, we only moved, you know, the one time, really, from Argentina and then over to Chile. So it wasn't too bad, and it was a lot of stuff to carry that one time, and I really wouldn't have wanted to do it more. And then another time, Sarah and I were in San Francisco, and we stayed in our own Airbnb for a little bit before transitioning over to a shared one that we were sharing with our coworkers for a big company meeting. And that was easier, I think, because, you know, we didn't have Ollie. He was unfortunately back in Georgia being taken care of at her parents. And yeah, we brought a lot less stuff. We weren't planning on backpacking or anything like that, so it made it a lot easier. It's just maybe one suitcase and a backpack each. So we were able to easily get off the plane, get to our Airbnb, and then go, you know, to the Airbnb out in Marin County with our coworkers. So I think if you live very light, that's a whole lot easier of something to do. Like, you could probably, you know, assuming you could find the right Airbnbs for yourself and the right price point, you could maybe live in them. You could have one for a couple months in one place and decide to move somewhere else.
So I think you've heard us talking about in previous episodes how much traveling we have done in the last few weeks. We've kind of bounced around a lot. Both of us had work trips that we had to do kind of last minute and unexpectedly. We flew out to Vegas for a concert and to hang out with some friends. And then we came back and we went to Atlanta for a wedding before we went out to Vegas. And so we were kind of bouncing around a lot, and we did stay in a couple of Airbnbs for that. And I was joking with Zach about how the whole thing kind of reminded me of George Carlin's bit, A Place for My Stuff, because we have our RV, which is our place for our stuff. And then we packed up some of our stuff in a suitcase and took it to Atlanta. And then after the wedding, we left some of that stuff in the car, another place for our stuff, and then flew the rest of our stuff to Vegas, stayed at another Airbnb, and then went
the smallest version of our stuff.
Yeah, and then we went to a hotel and stayed with some friends, and of course I picked up more stuff while I was in Vegas because that's what I do. And then we flew back home, and I picked up my car and drove back to the mountain where the RV was stationed at that point. And then Zach was still traveling, but it was just this kind of nonstop not being in our house. And even though we're used to traveling, that was kind of exhausting. So, you know, the two Airbnbs that we stayed in, they were okay. They weren't great. But I think that really would have made it a lot better if they had been more comfortable, if we had of, you know, had more time, and if the price points had been different. So, you know, one thing that you have to consider if you are trying to use Airbnb as your way to travel around is that since each place is going to be new to you and it's not going to be like your home, even though you are living in the Airbnb, it's going to be a little bit more tiring as a form of travel, because you're never going to really feel like you're settling into your house. You know, unless you're staying there long term, then it kind of becomes your house. But if you're moving every couple of weeks, it's going to be a little tiring. So maybe looking at more of what comforts the Airbnb offers is going to be more important at that point.
Yeah, I guess it depends on what you compare it to also. Because I'd say it's definitely more comfortable than staying in like a hostel or something like that. But probably not as comfortable as staying in a hotel. But then again, I think it's also nicer than staying in a hotel, because most of the time I think hotels are pretty boring.
Yeah, I mean, it really depends on where you are, too. You know, hotels can be kind of limiting. There tends to be certain areas in cities where hotels are, and that's it. So if there's a certain part of town in a city that you're really wanting to stay in, I could see, you know, like Portland, Oregon, I could see San Francisco, I can see even Atlanta. There's going to be certain parts of town where you might want to stay in because of walkability, because of what's nearby, markets, concert venues, street activities that go on, and you can just...
Well, especially if you're traveling internationally, too, because it's... I would think it would be more exciting to stay in the residential areas and sort of live like a local, rather than being in the big hotels and being around tourists all the time.
Yeah, so there is that trade-off. Another way that hotels can be kind of limiting is that, you know, there are some of them you can find sort of like residence inns where they'll have a kitchen and stuff, but even then, they can always be, you know, not as well stocked as you might like either, as far as, you know, pots and pans and baking supplies and things like that go. So, you know, the utensils that you need to really cook yourself healthy meals too can be lacking, the same as Airbnbs can be. So it's, you really have to kind of think, you know, what's important to you and, you know, what's your priority. If your priority is you want a great night's sleep and you don't care where the location is, then probably a hotel could be your best bet. But if you really want to get the experiences of the city and you want to make sure that you have a washer dryer and you want to make sure that you have a kitchen so that you're not eating out every day, then Airbnbs are a great choice. Another thing to consider is that Airbnb is not the only website for this type of service. There's also Vrbo, which I'm actually not sure if you say Vrbo or if you say VRBO. But that's another website. But what I found is that people that are on VRBO are almost always also on Airbnb, but not everyone that's on Airbnb is on VRBO. So sometimes it's better to stick with Airbnb. But I have noticed that sometimes the listings on VRBO can be a little bit nicer. If you're looking for really I'm going to say that used to be the case. If you're looking for a more classy type of place, you want to stay in like a penthouse or some sort of high rise, then VRBO, I think, used to be the better option for that, but or castle or cottage or something like that. But actually, Airbnb now does like experiences. So they've got like services that people are offering now for tastings, for learning how to cook in the location that you're at.
Surfing lessons,
skiing, yep. So they've got all these things, but they also have, I found this one place we're actually thinking about going to, or not thinking, we're going to Italy next year. So I found this huge, gorgeous, like, cottage mansion. I don't know how else to explain
cottage
it.
Cottage mansion.
Yeah, it looks like a cottage, but it's the
but
size
it's
of a mansion.
Okay,
yeah.
That makes sense.
So I don't know what the real word for that is. But it's in a city in Italy, and I saved it because I was like, maybe we'll splurge and stay there a night or two. I don't know. We'll have to look into it if it's available when we're there next year.
You're saying VRBO kind of seems to be on the high-end side. I think that's definitely the experience we had when we did our work trip, is they rented that huge house in Marin County, California. And to us, that was a mansion. I know, like, a single family lived there, so maybe if you're from that area, you're used to it. But we had our entire company in here and room to spare.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you could get lost in that house.
Yeah.
Did they book that through VRBO?
I believe so.
Oh, okay, cool. I didn't know that. Yeah, but that was a really nice place to stay. Yeah, I felt like it was very comfortable. Like Zach said, we had our whole company there, and everyone definitely had space. Our boss actually purchased some extra, like, air mattresses, like top-of-the-line air mattresses, just in case, because he thought there wouldn't be enough space. And I think only one of them ended up being used, and that might have been because Tony wanted to try it out. So it was kind of interesting. But we didn't really need, you know, a whole lot of extra space. We had a full kitchen. We had a little back patio with a fire pit.
And a huge back patio.
Yeah, huge back patio with a fire pit. People made s'mores.
Everything in this house was huge.
Yeah.
It was like three stories or something.
They had a game room.
Just nuts. Like, we could park several of our houses inside that house.
Well, yeah, definitely several of our RVs inside
that
house.
That's what I meant.
Yeah, but... yeah, so it really just boils down to what you're looking for. And like I said, since Airbnb is offering these experiences now, even if you are opting to stay in hotels because you don't feel comfortable staying in somebody else's house, definitely go and check out their experiences. Some of them seem really cool. Like, one of them was learning how to brew your own mead kind of thing. And then, like Zach said, there was surfing lessons.
Yeah, I've seen street art tours, other,
yes.
You know, I guess... different sorts of art strolls and wine tastings, like you said.
Yeah, so you're really going to be getting to see the city through the eyes of the locals, because they're going to be taking you to things that they know about or things that they do. You know, artists will be showing you the best spots to see local art and nature lovers, you know, people that go hiking or backpacking or mountain biking. They're going to be taking you to their favorite spots that maybe aren't common knowledge to everyone.
We haven't done any of those yet, but we've definitely seen some of them that we want to get on.
Yeah, we're definitely going to start looking into those as we go city to city.
Yep.
So I think for now, that's all we have. Just a couple of quick tips and hints on, you know, selecting Airbnbs and a little bit about our experience. Like I said, we definitely want to hear from you. So if you have any questions that you would like us to, you know, look more into, if there's something that you're wondering about it that we didn't cover, definitely reach out to us and we'll talk about it on a future episode. If you have any tips or suggestions from your own experience that we didn't mention, please send us that as well, and we'll mention it on another episode. And like I said, if you're somebody that is traveling full-time and you're using Airbnb or VRBO or anything similar that we might not know about as your way of living in different cities, let us know. We'd love to have you on the show.
And on the other hand, if you've never used Airbnb before and you're thinking about it, use our link at thinkingliberty.com/Airbnb, and you'll get $40 off your first trip. So that's great. And then while you're at it, be sure to follow us on Facebook, like us on Twitter, all that good stuff. So search Thinking Liberty on there, or our, you know, Facebook is facebook.com/listentl, and our Twitter is @listentl. And we've mentioned a lot during this episode, so be sure to check out the show notes page at thinkingliberty.com/9 for all the links, the resources, and just whatever we mentioned during this episode. We'll even throw up some links there about Amish country and bread cheese and any of the other things that we mentioned.
Yeah, and we'd love to hear feedback from you. So definitely, you know, when you're checking us out, maybe leave us a review or a comment or two.
And thanks everybody who's been leaving reviews and likes and comments. We see those rolling in. And please continue doing that just to spread the word of Thinking Liberty and get more people listening and more guests on the show, things like that. So, you know, iTunes, Stitcher, all that good stuff. Please, you know, give us a review there. Give us a star rating, thumbs up, whatever it is they happen to have.
Yeah, and your review and feedback will help us to know how to shape the direction of the show, to know what you guys are liking and appreciating and what you might not be appreciating and, you know, what you are learning from and what you could learn from that you'd like us to cover. So,
anyway, I think that's it for this week. I think we have another in-studio guest coming up. It should be pretty exciting, and hopefully that'll be out next Monday. And we'll see you then.
Thanks for listening to Thinking Liberty. Subscribe to the show for free on iTunes, Google Play, or Stitcher at thinkingliberty.com. You'll also find detailed show notes pages, articles by Zach and Sarah, and more. We'll see you next time.